The following program contains material that some listeners may find hilarious, while other listeners may be offended. So you see, there's a little something for everyone. Audience discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to another exciting edition of
It's
a
Show
Podcast.
It's a Show is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
We're broadcasting live from the world-famous Jackpot Casino in beautiful downtown Red Deer. And on our way in, we couldn't help but notice a lot of employees at the Jackpot smiling and wearing their Ellen shirts. And we've just been gifted by Christine, the general manager, with two of our very own. Look at these.
Look at that.
Ellen, the Ellen DeGeneres Show video slots.
Let the record state that when I was in Vegas, Ellen DeGeneres took all of my $40.
So this game's been around for a while. It's brand new to Red Deer and looks to be pretty popular from the lineups around it. And so Ellen sent boxes and boxes of graph playing cards. What else they got?
Earbuds. Sunglass. Try them. Take them out of the package and try them.
It's just they look so good in these packages. I don't want
to. They look good without the package.
For the record, I'm not one to wear white sunglasses.
Why not? It'll just, suit you. It'll bring out the highlights
in
your hair.
I don't have a jacked up 4x4 with balls on the back, so I can't really pull it off. What do you think? Good?
Yeah.
Are they me?
How is it on the eyes, though?
It's kind of weird.
They're a little weird. Because
you're looking through mesh dots.
Yeah,
like
mesh dots.
I bet you this is what a bumblebee looks like.
or a fly.
Yeah.
So there you go. The Ellen DeGeneres game now at the Jackpot Casino.
Okay, you should get a picture of me. I'm sure it looks stunning. Okay, you can't reach your phone because you're lying down. It should also be noted Sparky is lying on the leather lounger.
A leather lounger.
It is a long weekend, and we got one day left.
It's also late at night.
It's late at night. We're recording in the darkness. Date night at the Jackpot with GN Sparky. We attempted earlier to phone our friend Amy Metcalf, who apparently is in Halifax. We haven't even done levels. Are we plugged in?
I'm plugged in.
Anyone on? Check.
Check. Check.
Where's her
check
level?
I don't know, the phone.
I can't even reach anything. Amy. I think she's in Halifax and sleeping.
Hi, you've reached Amy. I can't get to the phone right now, but if you want to leave your name and number, I'll be sure to get back to you. Thanks. Bye.
Amy, it's GA and Sparky. You're ruining our CCMA preview show that you were supposed to host. Don't worry, it wasn't on the books. We just thought of it now. If you're in Halifax, hope you're having a good sleep.
It's 12:30 there right now.
It's what time is it here? 9:26 at the world-famous Jackpot Casino in beautiful downtown Red Deer. If you feel the need to call us back and perhaps you're just in the tub or something. Have fun out there. Canadian Country Music Week 2015. And we just... I got to take these off. Because
they hurt the eyes a little bit.
I feel ridiculous. it's CCMA week is... Well... I'm feeling a little nostalgic because CCMA week is where you get to catch up with friends that you don't see very often. And kind of sad to be missing it, but the plane ticket is huge. A lot of deserving people that we know and love that are there, and we wish them all the best of luck in their respective categories, all the nominees, and just all the new artists that are going to rub shoulders and learn and make connections. That's what it's really all about. They have incredible songwriter sessions and guitar polls.
It is more than just, like, for the average person who is a country music fan and maybe watches it on TV, it is so much more than that award show. It is so much more than that 2 to 3 hours of awards on television.
Which is very cool. And this year hosted by Jessie Cruikshank, whoever that is. I'm sure she's awesome.
She's lovely, I'm sure.
I was available. I checked my calendar. I was good to go. But anywho, Jessie Cruikshank will be rocking this award show. But you're exactly right. It's neat to be a part of that. And I've had the chance in the past... Well, in the past, to be behind the scenes and hang out with the artists and stuff. And while everything's getting prepared and the scripts are being written and finalized and the camera angles, it's very cool. But the real action is happening in the halls of the host hotels and at all the small clubs in the city where all of these artists are performing.
Mm-hmm.
Every year they do Fan Fest, which is free to all the country music fans at a certain location. This year it's sponsored by some kind of major oil field company.
Yeah.
And it's an all-star cast, man. It's going to be unbelievable.
Nice.
Including the Fans' Choice Award nominees for this year, Gord Bamford.
Love that guy. Look who I brought today.
Look, autographed by Gord Bamford picture.
There
look
he is, hey, Gord, leaning on his own arm there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Arm lean.
He's doing so good. And pulled in $500,000 for his Gord Bamford Foundation yearly golf tournament and fundraiser. Had Marty Stewart as a special guest. The guy's unbelievable. Paul Brandt is a Fans' Choice Award nominee. He's going on tour, or he is on tour with Dean Brody.
That's right.
And, of course, he's competing against Dean, so that's going to be ugly.
And awkward.
Yeah, they're going to talk about that. That'll make the tour, because they're coming to our village after the CCMA, so that'll be interesting. Johnny Reed in the category this year, along with Dallas Smith. Now, as much as I love everybody in this category, Dallas is really bringing the heat these days, right?
He's like...
He's been on a roll.
I'm a big Dallas Smith fan. I'm a fan of all those guys, but Dallas Smith is my number one right now. And he's coming to our neck of the woods later this month, and I am so going to be there.
If I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, I love you.
We've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of the nominees this year over the course of taping It's a Show episodes, including in the Female Artist of the Year category, Mackenzie Porter. She's an actress and a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
So she spends the majority of her spring auditioning in L.A. for parts, and pilot season is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
She's on Hell on Wheels, but if she doesn't get a major part like that, then she fills in all the holes in her schedule with her live performances and recording records.
Yeah.
So she's got, it's very...
She's got the best of both worlds, really.
Back to pilot season for a second. I have a friend named Jason Belleville. He's an extraordinary writer, a television writer. I used to work with him on the CMT Request Line show. It was a shit show, not because of him. It was kind of a team effort. But he's really done a lot in his extensive career, and we just thought we'd take a flyer, dial him up tonight, and see if he's around.
And that song that he sings.
A glass of water right next to my phone. I'm on the edge of my seat, literally.
Beached. Michelle.
Oh, hi. Oh, hello
okay.
there.
I believe we have the wrong number. What? I guess that number is no longer in service. I'll try this one.
I was really hoping that person would pick up if that wasn't who you thought it was.
Hello?
JB.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
We're doing a taping of It's a Show with Sparky, my co-host, is here.
What up, what up?
Oh, cool. What's going on?
Well, we just had that long-standing order for what was it like to work with Neil Patrick Harris close up and personal at the Montreal Just for Last Festival. Still outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
Our special guest is Jason Belleville, a former collaborator of mine on CMT, and then he got a real job and became a successful writer. Jason, welcome to the show, and give us some cliff notes on what you've been doing lately.
Other than working with you, which was the highlight of my career.
Obviously.
Obviously. Well, I've done a lot of TV shows up there. I ran a little show for CBC called A Little Mosque on the Prairie for a while. I had my own show up there. And then I've worked down here on a couple of shows, one called Ground Floor over on TBS, which was starred John C. McGinley of Scrubs fame.
You looking forward to the holidays?
I'm a gravy guy.
What?
I'm a gravy guy.
What the hell was that? That's a
like gravy, Conan.
Okay, that just sounds weird the way you say it.
I like gravy so much, I like to get it all over me. I like gravy. I'm a gravy guy.
And Skylar Astin from Pitch Perfect, and then did a show for Steve Carell. He had like a Naked Gun police squad kind of show that's coming out later this year with Rashida Jones. Just finished that a little while ago.
Let's all pile into the minivan and get some frozen yogurt!
Holy moly, a show for Steve Carell.
No big deal.
No,
not the same Steve Carell. It's a different Steve Carell. Not the famous one.
Shut up.
We get that a lot.
Any man who says he totally understands women is a fool because they are ununderstandable.
I know it's the same Steve Carell because you had star power. I saw pictures of you with some incredible people. Tell us about some of the stars that you met.
Well, you know, we've had some great people on a lot of things. Luckily, on that last one, we had Carell's show, it was called. We had James Franco. We had Bill Murray came into the day.
I used to make pizza
Really?
Yeah, I made pizza, and it was when I was starving.
Where did you work? What was the pizza
place? It was Evanston, Illinois. It was Little Caesars, back when Little Caesars was really great.
Little Caesars? Wow. Yeah.
Good evening. For those of you that are not my relatives, I'm Bill Murray.
What's it like to work with Bill Murray?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't get to talk to him a ton, but he was great, and he came with a lot of ideas and thoughts on what was going to be a pretty small but good role. He made it terrific and just played around a ton and does all the stuff you hope he'll do.
Yeah.
He was great. He was terrific. I'm lucky I get to hang out with some good people down here.
More with Jason Belleville coming up on this week's It's a Show. And he actually turned down an offer from a show business icon. He'll never work in any town again. We're going to hear more from Jason Belleville coming up on the program. We've been talking about CCMAs a little bit. It's coming up in Halifax in the Group or Doer of the Year category, Autumn Hill, our pals, the Roadhammers. And we still have a feature-length interview in the can with the Roadhammers to share with you shortly. Small Town Pistols, High Valley, who we've just had on the show and are terrific. We wish the best of luck in this category. And our homegrown boys, the Boom Chugga Boys. Single of the Year, 3-2-1 from Brett Kissel.
Yeah, that guy.
He's
a
rock star.
Somebody stop him.
He just told a story on social media tonight about he was driving by and some guy was playing his,
I just read that, yeah.
Yeah, he's playing his tune in the vehicle, and Brett pulls up beside him and goes, "Hey, thanks for playing my song." And he goes, oh shit. So Brett stopped and took a picture with the guy, so that's kind of cool. Another Man's Gold, Dean Brody, is nominated in the single category. Cheap Wine and Cigarettes.
Yes, Mosca Luke.
You hear that once, it's stuck in your brain
so
for a
true.
Week.
So true.
Waste and Gas from Dallas Smith. And this is my personal favorite in this category, Where a Farm Used to Be from Gord.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah,
it's just so cool and so different.
If old McDonald had a cow, that's all I know.
Video of the Year category is Jason Blaine with Countryside. Jason doing some great work. Mackenzie Porter, If You Ask Me To. She's an actress. She's got the inside edge on this one.
She knows what's going on.
Love to talk to her about it, but
there's an incident.
There was an incident with the tape. Sorry, Mackenzie. And Mackenzie's mom. Tough People Do, our pal Brett Kissel. Upside Down from Dean Brody, which is a weird, fun tune. And Where a Farm Used to Be from Gord.
Something tells me Where a Farm Used to Be might clean up this year.
It could be. Could be. Songwriters of the Year, Before You Drive Me Crazy, Countryside, Never Didn't Love You, Upside Down, and Where a Farm Used to Be.
Where a Farm Used to Be, as far as you can see.
Written by Gord Bamford, Buddy Owens, Phil O'Donnell, and performed by G. Bamford Esquire. You got some other categories, too, and the Musician Awards, Mackenzie Porter's nominated.
She's a fiddlist and a pianist,
I think. All-Star Band Fiddle Player of the Year. Who else is in that category? Denny Dufresne, our pal Denny Dufresne, who plays with Gord Bamford now. All-Star Guitar, Matty McKay. Recently, I don't know what he did, but he lost a lot of weight.
He does not look like the same person.
He's looking sharp.
Yeah, good for him.
In the Recording Studio of the Year category, we got to put our considerable It's a Show weight behind MCC Recording Studio, Dave Temple, and Johnny Sixpack. Johnny Gasparic, based out of Calgary. What a terrific bunch of people. I had a chance to get to know Dave a bit at a Hey Romeo party. It was a launch party for the new single, Pushing Up Daisies. And earlier this year, ran into Hey Romeo at a pancake breakfast.
And now, another epically colossal It's a Show special guest interview.
All right, we're side stage, backstage at a parking lot after a Hey Romeo show for a pancake breakfast to kick off the fair here in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada. Just looking at their green room rider, it's pretty extensive. Syrup, some juice boxes, and some sausage and cold pancakes. So everything's been fulfilled. Rob, you're kind of the acting manager of the band. You're very happy with how you've been treated?
Yeah, we had a great time here in your town. Loved it.
You don't even know where you are, do you?
Yes. We're in
Kamloops. Aren't we in Kamloops?
Darren, Rob, and Stacy is busy signing autographs because she's the popular one. What are you guys doing to kill time while you're on the road?
I'm usually
driving, working, sleeping.
Yeah.
In shifts.
Yeah, no, that's all. That's all it is. Darren's driving. Rob is working.
I'm on the phone, or got my iPhone is tethered to my laptop.
So you're always doing business, setting up other gigs, and
well, yeah, or trying to think of yeah, you know, what's happening next week, what's happening next month, what's happening
with CCMAs. Trying to get interviews with development officers, you know, things like that.
Yes. And if I'm not sleeping, then I have to go to the bathroom like every 5 seconds on the road. I don't know, it's something weird that happens when I get in our band van. I don't know.
I can identify, sister. I got a small bladder.
Yeah.
Road trips, and I always try to blame it on the kids. And I go, oh, really? You got to stop again. Secretly, I got to go so bad.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I just remember the name of the brewery in Calgary that was driving me crazy. The Wild Rose Brewery.
Wild Rose. I've heard of that.
That's great. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, we're going to go take a tour there. They've got a Oktoberfest beer show happening in Calgary.
Oh, so you maybe guys we'll go... can all come stay at my house.
That would be sweet. Because
we'll
we're
watch
gonna go
a Oilers game in the basement. Because my husband won't let us watch it.
I bet
it
you got a big TV. She got a big TV?
Yeah.
Like the biggest.
What is now considered God help a large him. TV now, would you say? Is
yeah.
It, is it
fit?
Is
well,
it
see, I got a 42.
Get a 42.
But I think that's yeah. small.
That's small.
I think... This big, they say. From I just watched Friends, and they
Your
said this is average. This is average this size. So, sorry, honey. I think 52 is about,
yeah,
you know.
Is entry level.
That's what you have?
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Entry
that's
level.
Acceptable
that's
in public
acceptable.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. I can't have people over because I have 42.
He wants a projector, though, my husband,
here's,
and I don't
here's
know.
Here's what I learned about the size of the TV. It sort of doesn't matter. You just pull your chair closer.
Yeah.
There we go. Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. How old are you?
We got a lot of great response from playing a clip of Hey Romeo's brand new single, Pushing Up Daisies, on the last edition of It's a Show, so here it comes again.
I believe that you'll behave when you're pushing up daisies in your grave. Yeah, I believe that you'll behave when you're pushing up daisies in your grave.
Pushing Up Daisies on the It's a Show podcast. We're going to chat a little bit more with my friend Jason Belleville. He's a sitcom writer in Hollywood and recently had the chance to work with Neil Patrick Harris. Let's talk quickly about Neil Patrick Harris. You went to Just for Laughs Montreal. You were called in there to what?
I wrote two galas there. One was for Ellie Kemper, the star of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, who's delightful. And then did the special show this year where they did two nights, four shows, a big variety, almost circus-style show with Neil Patrick Harris running it with like jugglers and like a Cirque du Soleil kind of act and puppets and all this insanity on it. And he was sort of the ringmaster. We did two nights of that, and it was a huge success. So I think it had the best reviews they had there for a gala, which was amazing. And the Gazette said it was utterly perfect or something like that. I can't remember what their review was, but I gotta say there's no harder working guy than Neil. He's a pro, and he'll do anything. Like, he was doing some of the Cirque du Soleil kind of style acrobat bits. He was doing all sorts of, like, he did magic. He'd also, like, he's like able to sort of do it all. He can sing, he can dance, he can entertain. Like, really, it's him and Hugh Jackman are sort of the two.
Yeah.
Only two guys I can think of who can sort of do all of that.
Well, Jason Alexander.
Who are you, George Costanza?
I'm the opposite of every guy you've ever met.
It's not you, it's me.
You're giving me the it's not you, it's me routine? I invented it's not you, it's me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me.
All right, George, it's you.
You're damn right it's me.
Look, I was just trying to, you know.
I know what you were trying to do. Nobody does it better than me.
Oh yeah, Jason Alexander. Exactly. Of course, the three of them meet together.
The three sex symbols in show business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Broadway.
And I mean, like, and as far as hosts go, I mean, there's only he and Hugh Jackman have each hosted the Tonys four times. The only person who's done it more than that is Angela Lansbury. I think they're going to team up and kill it, which wouldn't take much. You could just make a loud noise.
Yeah, scare her to death.
That might be enough. But yeah.
So.
But he's a great guy, and he's got a show coming up soon. I guess in a week or two, the new show starts. His Best Time Ever is going to be fantastic. He was good enough. We hit it off super well there, and he was good enough to invite me to be a part of that show. But it was in New York, so it was right as my wife was starting a new job here, and my son was starting his first year of kindergarten here. So I ended up not doing it. But I'm going to be watching it eagerly because it would have been a lot of fun to be a part of, and it's going to be ridiculous.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the It's a Show podcast. We're talking to a man who said no to Neil Patrick Harris, slammed the door in his face to that opportunity.
That's not accurate. Not accurate at all.
New York City, man. Tell your beautiful wife, well, you know what? I'll only be gone for a few months, honey. That's it.
Well, but it was the timing. My wife has already sacrificed a lot for the stuff I do. And she had a job lined up, and it was her turn. The downside is, A, I have some friends in SNL, and I have friends on some other late shows there, so it would have been fun to hang out there and work. And I think Neil's show is going to be great, and he's just a terrific host. So it would have been an awesome time. And my agent was like, I totally get it. The timing's wrong. You shouldn't do it. It's a bummer, though. It would be a good shot at an Emmy. And I'm like, gosh. Dang it, why would you tell me that?
But you made a friendship now and stuff, and that's always, you know, it's always going to come back to you, I'm sure.
That'd be great. I don't do it for that. He's just a genuinely really likable guy. And also a perfectionist, which I respect. We would do an early show for this show we did in Montreal, and then we'd meet up, and I would do 25 pages of changes before the late show in about 20 minutes.
Holy.
To make it better, tighter, faster. Like we would I'm not saying solid, but we would make changes on 28 pages of the script. To try and make it better. And we do the same thing the next night because the goal was to get better. And he's a perfectionist that way. And I guess I got a lot of, if you're a perfectionist who's also really talented, I got a lot of time for you, which is why you and I got along.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is really bringing me back to the experience of doing the CMT Request Line show.
Oh, of course. And even this podcast, you're a perfectionist here, obviously.
Absolutely. You've heard it. Obviously.
How often do you say, let's stop? We have to do it again. It isn't quite perfect. Are you recording this? You're not recording this.
Oh, shit. I was supposed to record this. Oh.
Because we could do this way better.
Yes, we could. Who is the most interesting celebrity that you've actually had a chance to work around or work with?
The SNL after parties are really fun.
So you've been to SNL after parties?
Yeah, my only friend Taryn, who's a great guy, a super talented guy, he's on that show. And we are friends of his and his wife, Kobe, who's terrific as well. And so they've been good enough to invite us a couple times. And we go out and have fun, and it can be totally chill. And the only weird thing can be it's after SNL and it's 3 a.m, and you're having dinner, a full dinner, because that's what they do.
Yeah.
Or it can be, you know, you're handing the karaoke mic to Justin Timberlake and going, hey, buddy. and he's going, how do you, and you're showing him how to use the machine. And you're like, well, this is cool. One of those things, those are just a big surreal dream. You put it all together and you're like, and it's also normal and so laid back. And I don't get starstruck at the time, but afterwards, you're like, hey, that was weird. I was like, by a factor of 10, the least famous person in this group of 15 people that were out doing something. The more you know people down here, the more you're like, they're mostly all just people. Occasionally you meet them and you're like, oh my gosh, there's that person. But that's, you know, rare. And then you go and say something awkward to them because you don't know what to say.
Yeah, that's the worst.
It doesn't go super well and then it's over quickly, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, they dismiss you fairly quickly. Yeah,
so, and you're sitting there going, wow, boy, it'll be so good when we're lifelong friends. That fantasy. Then you go over and say something dumb and you're like, well, that's over. That's been quickly.
I was really looking forward to hanging out with you and having beers. I really was.
Anyway, I've got to get back to this really rockin' Hollywood party. Oh, can you hold on 1 second?
Yeah.
Oh, Bono, just serve yourself, Bobby, there in a sec. It's fine. We're out of dip. Oh, Sting brought some. We're fine.
Our special guest is Jason Belleville, and an old friend, and doing very well. Jason, thanks very much for taking the phone call tonight, and I look forward to having you on again soon.
For sure. Lose the number. Talk soon.
And we are sans Peaker this week. Blah, 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 or whatever he does.
But, very, very well done.
last time we taped with the Peaker, we had so much tape, we had to save a piece because it was just a little too much Peaker for one episode. Before we get to Peaker's shocking revelation, let's hear from
Facebook, Facebook, gotta check my Facebook.
Gotta take another look, nothing new, I am hooked, what to do, hit refresh.
Facebook, Facebook, gotta check my Facebook.
Gotta creep on all my friends,
every day. There's no end,
nothing new,
I am hooked,
what to do, hit refresh, every day.
There's no end,
it's the Facebook way, it's the Facebook way. It's the Facebook way.
All right. It's a show is on. It's GA.
Peaker.
Sparky.
Wait, no, it's like Peaker. That's so terrible.
All right. What's your shocking revelation? Let's get this out in the open. What has happened?
I'm done with Facebook. Done. Finished.
Yeah. Gold sister.
Going off the grid. Go, sister.
You're going to delete your Facebook account.
I'm thinking about it.
Thought about it.
Okay, so here's the thing. I can never do that because...
You live off that.
All of the pictures are on there. All the family, everything, all the whole history.
Don't you back that stuff up?
How do you back it up?
You back it up.
Back it up on what?
You back it up on like Dropbox or something.
Back this whole thing up for a second.
Beep, beep.
This means whatever picture GA has been taking for the past, I don't know how long he's had Facebook.
I upload to Facebook.
That's the only thing you do?
That's where I keep it.
What do you do with the photo after you upload it? Do you keep it on the phone?
Yeah, you know I keep buying more storage for this one.
I'm done with social media.
I've thought about it.
You know,
I've thought about
I
it. Sometimes it just pisses me off.
It's more and more, you alluded to this earlier, about lists and 10.
19 ways to be a better lover. 19,000 ways to be better at the office. Shut up.
But I'm gonna have to warn my parents.
If it's over 10.
Because
I'm
that's the only way really, that my mom or my dad or anyone can, or my family
sees. Well, that's the thing. Like, and my mom's not even on Facebook, so that's a good thing.
But it's not
an issue for me.
I'm just done with it. You know, and this whole, like, the Ashley Madison thing, you know, like a hacker. Who says a hacker can't hack into the Facebook accounts and just expose, like, you know, all your credit card information and stuff like that? Like,
I'm bad at the password sitch. I'm right.
Well,
for
we
hackage.
Know that because we can just log right into your Facebook account anytime we want.
Yeah, I know. If any man can do it, it's you, because you quit smoking cold turkey. That is huge. Millions and millions of people around the world want to do that.
Right.
And you just did it. Boom, like that. And it was rough, but you did it. And look, you haven't looked back.
No.
Right. You might have a stress smoke once in a blue moon.
See, I might go back to MySpace. No one uses it.
Great presence on MySpace.
No, but I mean,
nobody.
Nobody uses it.
You know what? I'm going to
hack into my MySpace.
You know
account.
What I'm worried about? This is the thing. There is no freaking room left on the internet. Did you hear that story?
No.
We're running out of room on the internet.
That's why I should delete my account.
I don't need that stress.
That'll open up
Because I'm contributing to the world's downfall of the internet, and then this is my primary communication tool. Here's the thing. So we're trying to get this It's a Show thing off the ground.
Well, I guess
and all
we don't
of
have
our,
to. The internet's
yeah,
all full.
Yeah,
so
the internet's full. So what are we going to do?
Good luck with the quitting Facebook. I mean, I feel you. I delete a few friends and I get the wrath of God. So
no, we work with a lady
like if
who completely deleted just today.
Good, good.
And I just looked at her and I go, you're my inspiration.
I would do it, but like GA says, and you even said with your parents, my dad, that's how my dad knows what's going on in my life. And I keep it for him mostly. And there's a few people that I keep in touch that way. But my rule for Facebook is if we don't talk in real life, if we don't communicate in real life, then you have no business being my friend on Facebook.
Thank you. I have friends on there, which is, I'm not going to say it's horrible. It's nice just to kind of touch base. But I did take an oath that everyone that popped on my Facebook feed that had a birthday, I was wishing them a happy birthday. And that's exactly, but that's coming up. That's going to end here in October. So I'm like, that's my 1 year.
Okay, so let's see. And here's the thing. I need to be off. I have two phones. You have two phones. It's too much with the phones.
You guys need to
I know, it's just a thing. But anyway, my wife brings it up like 3 times a day. Get off your phone. Get off your phone. Get off your phone.
You're a phone guy.
You know what? You're right. And at my house,
I don't think this phone is any less addictive to me than your cigarettes were to you.
Phones are probably more addictive, I think.
It's starting to really weigh on my mind.
So what I've done is, since I quit smoking, I've actually quit using my phone at home.
Good on you.
Yeah, because I try and get a hold of them on the weekend. This is useless. There's no...
Because I purposely do that. I sit there and I watch, and my 2-year-old and my 7-year-old and my significant other, they're plowed into their iPads. And I'm like sitting there.
And you really notice that when you're off.
You are. Yeah. Just do that. Do that for a couple nights, and you'll say, "Wow, this is crazy."
It is.
We need to put. So I put a rule in place that there is actually no iPads or phones from at least 5 to 9 in the evenings.
Good job.
So we're gonna have to do it post 9. We were thinking of 9+ because our son is on it late. Ava's always on it, watching her shows, watching whatever shows, and they got Xbox. They got like to shut everything off.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's tough, but you know what? Do it, and then you'll see how much your life gets better. Guaranteed.
And it's funny you say that. Last summer, I went to Jasper, literally middle of nowhere camping, no service whatsoever. It was weird. I have my phone. It's on, but I can't do nothing with it.
So what do you do? What are you thinking about out there?
You just, that's what, you kind of learn how to do that stuff over again. Like, you actually think about
things. Like when we were kids.
You read a book. You know, I don't know. You just, you...
You find something to do.
You disconnect, and it's nice. I think people need to do that. And you did a speech about that at some breakfast I went to that was all right. It was all right. It was a
wasn't really a good speech either.
I missed that one.
Brutal.
Here's the Cole's notes. Basically, you got to shut the things off every now and then and decompress.
You have to. And you know what? Seriously, it's been actually kind of hard sometimes. Not for my daughters, but for my significant other. You like that, eh?
The way you say it.
Isn't it impressive? Actually, I got another story.
We're never getting out of this podcast.
I know. You guys.
Hit the eject button.
You know, it's a never-ending storyteller. I know.
We do it out of the love.
To be
it's
honest
out of love.
With you, you have improved. This episode is like a Hall of Fame edition.
I don't know why we don't just do another one.
It's been flowing.
I've been practicing for a couple months.
It's flowing.
A couple months.
Okay, so back to your thing. What were you saying? You were in midpoint, and that was a good point.
Midpoint.
If I wasn't so
half point.
So hot.
I was
significant other.
We sat down and had a conversation for more than 20 minutes, and it was like mind-boggling. It was just like, holy shit, did we actually have a conversation for 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if it's just because we have some serious issues and that we don't talk or communicate, or it's the actual mobile technology.
And you know what? Even at lunch the other day, I got a chance to go to lunch with my youngest daughter and my wife.
That's nice.
I put my phone in my pocket and didn't pull it out once. And we actually talked at lunch, and I'm going,
amazing.
I know what my daughter's seeing, even though now she's buried in her iPad or her thing. But where did she learn that from? This guy.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's
pathetic. Really.
Yeah. And you know, and it was funny because.
Are we going to all quit cold turkey? How do we tell the world how we're awesome we are and get and topics and for the show?
That's the thing.
We're stuck in this.
People,
show business.
People.
No, but, okay, so what I'm saying is not completely go off.
How do I know what the Blue Jays did today? I don't know.
I can tell you right now.
Did they win?
I saw the score.
What did they win?
They won 5-3.
10 innings, 5-3. Yeah.
Woo. It's true though. How do people know that my life is awesome? People have said your life is awesome. I was like, I just make it look that way. I mean, it kind of is, but
yeah, I know that's the same
Facebook's
thing.
It's not real.
There's a couple of guys that we could name right here in this room that are on Facebook that their lives are glorious, and I'm going, it makes you feel bad about your own life. Why can't I get my shit together? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Knew it.
Fucking
knew
guys.
It.
Like,
I hate that.
I just hate them because they make us feel like we're not measuring up.
I don't brag that much, I don't think.
No.
I feel like I'm going to plant a tree just to reduce the carbon imprint of my driving in my car.
Yes.
Like,
and what? I have a Prius.
Shut up.
Shut up.
What? I knew this guy who was the exact same way, and when I talk to him personally, he's like, I got.
But on Facebook,
Cinderella. On Facebook,
it's
he's like I got such a wonderful wife, and I got this and that. And then all of a sudden they get together, and I get together with him beers, and he's like, yeah.
Things aren't going so well.
That's the thing. On the screen, it's perfect. Behind the scenes, not so much.
Right. So just let's be honest about it, right? That's the thing I got with Facebook, too, is that, people aren't honest.
And how?
I have a friend who, if she's listening, sorry, but. But it's almost like she's convincing the world that she's incredibly happy.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe you are. Like, maybe she is.
Maybe people do that because they want to not be depressed. They want to, get themselves out of it.
But, I talk with her, and it's just like, are you okay? Are you sure? Because, it's like, you're speaking, and you're talking about how, awesome you're... your life is, and then when I speak with her,
she's not happy.
It's not like that.
So do you think we could ever get off this? Should we do like a week or do a challenge or something? Like, Peaker, if you're thinking of deleting, I can't even believe that.
Yeah, no, well, I'm.
You will do it. I know you'll do it.
I will do it. I just want to actually just run it by my parents, though. Like, I feel like I owe it to them to actually do that because I don't
That sentence has never been spoken before in the history. I need to ask my parents if I can quit Facebook.
No, well...
You know what I'm saying is
the fact that I don't my parents are in another province.
But you can text them pictures and stuff.
Yeah, I think we're gonna do that.
Yeah,
but I just want to make sure that they know that the reason why I'm going off Facebook is because it's all bullshit.
We blame Zuckerberg for all of our problems. There
God
it is.
Damn,
we said it.
Zuckerberg. Just be honest about your life. That's all I say. You know, be honest about your life.
But that's going to bring the rest of us down if we all start talking real truth.
If you were to actually follow me on Facebook, I'm pretty controversial sometimes. And that's just the way I am, right? I'm not sure.
And here's how I am. All I use Facebook for and social media for is to retweet content that I think is interesting to other people. I rarely post my own stuff. Rarely.
I know. You're like a retweeter.
Do people hate that?
That's the worst
kind of liking, a like, share person. But, on Facebook.
But I have 3,500 followers.
You have how many followers?
3,500.
I have...
You know they can mute you.
400.
Yeah, and Sparky has 450.
I don't know if I have that many.
Nah, you know what, though? I've deleted a lot of people, too.
It doesn't matter. It's all a game.
Yeah, I know. And that's, but I really do enjoy my other friend, who's a photographer in Calgary. She's an incredible, incredible photographer.
And you get to see her stuff on Facebook.
And I get to see her stuff on Facebook. And that's the stuff I enjoy. Like, I enjoy seeing that, you know.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like, it gives you the world in the palm of your hand.
But I guess then there's Instagram, right?
Yeah, I don't know about Instagram.
I love Instagram.
You know what?
Love it.
Okay, we heard about this girl on Instagram that has got 74,000 followers. She's a local girl, and she's making her living from representing brands on Instagram.
Who is she?
Brooke Wilson.
Brooke Wilson. We need to get her on the show.
Okay, Sparky, can you book her?
Brooke Wilson.
Can you book Brooke Wilson and whoever else? Jerry Springer.
There's a lot of Brooke Wilsons on here.
She's a travel. Like, all her pictures are her traveling. And that's how she gets sponsored for all her trips, right? Like, she gets like full up kayaks and stuff.
Money. They give her money and gifts in kind.
Yeah.
I'll take anything. Yeah. For Instagram. I'll take a gifts in kind. I have a certs addiction. I need certs in my life.
I saw you had a half
roll
of certs. Yeah.
Were you trying to quit smoking?
Crush those. No, I love certs. Love them.
That's a more stunning revelation than Peaker quitting Facebook.
There's nothing better than swooshing down a mountain with a cert in your mouth.
Just like
it would blow up your head.
It's like Mountain
Dew.
Too
much.
I was at the store today.
That's full of aspartame. That's bad for you, Sparkles.
Well, sitting in this room is bad for me.
Right beside
driving
me.
Here is bad for me.
Wearing that hat like that is bad for you. Like,
you should
you
sit
look
in
like
the truck with
right
me
now.
After this burger. No air
That's
conditioning.
That's bad for you.
That's bad for you.
Okay, any closing thoughts? Because this thing has gotten way out of control.
All right.
An hour's worth of awesome in 30 minutes or more.
Or in this case, an hour.
Oh, my. Okay, we're at 44 on segment two. We already did segment one. And I haven't put the interviews in. This is the fall open episode. It's a little longer than most.
Can we actually do another one after this
season debut,
like another like the fall opener part two, and have like Tina Tuner and like Cassie Hot Pants and like the
Hot
full
Pants. As soon as she gets a load of this episode, she's gonna go, you bastards, why didn't you call me?
Well, okay, you know what, Cassie,
you bastards,
Hot Pants. That's what she's, you know what, you did a podcast without me, no fair, and this is my retribution, my revenge.
Okay,
maybe she's also sleeping.
She has called this place, so she knows it's me. Let's ignore
her. Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice messaging system.
Cassie
is not available.
HP, it's GA and Sparky. The only reason we're calling is because Peaker's not here, and we just want to rub it in his face in case you had time to be on the show again. And we wanted to know if you have James Duthie's number from TSN. I'm sure you do. Anything, Sparky? Anything for Cassie?
We miss you!
You know the number. Bye for now.
Hey, hey, Hot Pants, Rich, little Olympian, oh yeah. Always giving all she's got, giving her very best. Well, it's Hot Pants, Rich, Cassie, Hot Pants, Rich.
I have nothing left to say to you two. It's a show on Facebook.
It's the Facebook Way.
It's a show broadcasting live from the world-famous Jackpot Casino in beautiful downtown Red Deer, where they are sporting the brand-new Ellen DeGeneres video terminal game. I'm not sure how it works, but Sparky lost a lot of money on Vegas already. We want to thank the Jackpot Casino management and the staff for supplying us with these cool shirts and these wicked Ellen sunglasses. We're going to take a couple of promotional pictures and send them on down the line to Curtis Hargrove, who is running all the way to Ellen's studio from Port Alberni, BC. He left about a week ago. He's doing it all for Angel Magnuson. So best of luck, Curtis, man. Hopefully the journey's going great. We wish we could check in with you, but it's way too late now. We don't want to interrupt your beauty sleep because you got to get back on the road in the morning. We also want to thank openhighway.com. Our pal Kelsey and the team at Open Highway, they are specialists to take your business to the next level and get that much-needed engagement. They do it through social media and an N-plug system. If you want to spend a little and make a lot, you got to contact openhighway.com today. That's openhwy.com today. That's pretty much it for us, Spark.
All right.
I really wish you would relax during these tapings. You're so tense. Thanks a lot for listening this week. And don't forget, you can find us all over social media.
We're on the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagrams machine. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/itsashowpodcast. On Twitter at itsashowpod. And the same for Instagram at itsashowpod.
We also have the website.
itsashowpod.com.
Boom.
Still a slight work in progress.
Yeah.
Slightly.
It's up there. That's all we can say. We're not doing any grand openings at the current time. Let's just say that. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. God bless and be good. Not because you always want to, but because you really should.
It's too hot in here for pants.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.